going on, everybody? What's going on? I hope you guys are doing well. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and I'm here via audio with my lovely wife, Dr. Alicia. How you doing today, babe?
I'm all right. How you feeling?
Feeling good. I'm a little bit under the weather. I will be home tomorrow. I'm in Tulsa today, and cannot wait to get home and hang out with you.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't seen you in quite a bit.
Yeah. So
gone.
Yeah. Took a lot of trips this month, and I want to say hello to everybody who's here. I see Blissful Therapy. Tarika Brown came in early. Kathy Harrison, good to see you. Goldmine Advantage, Royal Calhoun. Give us a yes if you can hear us okay. Give us a quick yes that the audio is coming through all right if you can. I'd appreciate that if you could. And also, I want to let you all know what Pillow Talk is. Pillow Talk is basically we're both professors. I'm a professor of finance. My wife is a professor of social work. And we created Pillow Talk because we wanted to have intelligent conversations about things that are happening in the Black community, because I know a lot of you get tired of the same old stuff. You can't get out. You can't get all your information from the shade room. You really want to actually elevate the conversation so you can vibrate on a higher frequency. And that's our goal. I understand money at a very high level. My wife is not just a therapist, but she's a therapist that trains other therapists. And so I reached out to my wife today and I presented her with a pitch, and thank goodness she agreed to it. And I said, you know, it would be really interesting to learn lessons from all these accusations that have appeared against Diddy lately. That, you know, I've heard my wife talk about personality types, and I've heard her reference different personalities that are more vulnerable, more susceptible to the manipulation of people like, say, a Diddy. Not to say that Diddy did all these things. I think it's important to remember that he's innocent until proven guilty. But I thought that my wife would be a great person to help give us some insights into just how you get diddied in this world, you know. So, babe, can you hear me now? I heard some background noise. Are you there? Hello?
You heard background noise on my part? Yes. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I had to mute you for a second. I heard some background noise. But so let's jump into the Diddy thing. So have you been following all the stuff going on with Diddy lately? Have you been paying attention to, you know, all the media stuff?
Oh my God, yes. We were in Miami on Monday. And I remember thinking, oh, it's going down in Miami. I mean, it was really surprising that people would come for him in that way. So they must have been monitoring him for quite some time. And isn't that true? The FBI raided his house? Oh my goodness. What's going on?
Yeah, so he had his house raided. There is also just this, it's almost like there's been a significant amount of reputational damage. I'm not here to be judge, jury, and executioner on Diddy or his legacy. I am one to say, to be honest with you, though, that there are, that for many years, there have been whispers around whether or not he was involved with the death of Tupac, and also just kind of what happens in that space. A lot of people don't feel that was a safe space for artists. A lot of artists felt like they were in that space and bad things happened. So Diddy's kind of being made into the new R. Kelly to some extent, or even worse, the new Bill Cosby. And so I wanted to focus on more the therapeutic aspect of it, babe, and have you as the expert on this. Give us some insights. You sent me a little note on different personality types, and I thought that was really interesting, and it made me curious. I said, you know, what kind of personality types are the ones that are most likely to be taken advantage of? Let's say Diddy did these things, or let's say even if Diddy didn't do it, let's say R. Kelly or somebody like that. I'm not going to just put it all on Diddy, but, you know, I'd be curious to know about the different personality traits that open a person to this kind of thing. So you sent me a list of what they call the Big Five personality traits, and we can start there. And I can mention each one. You can kind of give me some insights into what that means. So you mentioned extroversion, agreeableness, openness, conscientiousness, and neuroticism. So let's start with extroversion. Tell me about that.
Well, wait, one more thing before we get into this. This five personality traits that you mentioned, neuroticism, extroversionism, agreeableness, openness, and conscientiousness. What's interesting about these five personality traits is that it's very well researched. So, Boyce, have you ever had a personality test? Have you ever taken that? The Myers-Briggs?
Yeah, the 16personalities.org, right?
Right, 16 personalities and all those other ones. None of those I hate to tell you, I'm not going to say that those aren't good to use, but they're not very well substantiated in the research. It's, you know, the Myers-Briggs is based on, you know, Carl Jung. And we love Carl Jung, right? But he never would have wanted his concepts of how a person develops into personality types. And I know that the Myers-Briggs and everything is used, and people can see, you know, people can look at it and see, oh, okay, that's me. That's, I can see myself in that. But it's not as well researched and substantiated in the literature as the five personality traits. So I just want to start with that, because what we're going to cover today is research-based, is evidence-based information on our personality. So I wanted to get that out of the way before we got into the one. So what was your question again before we get started?
Okay, so I'm gonna read the five major types, and right. I'm gonna give you my simple-minded assessment, you know, which is obviously not professional at all, on what I saw when I saw Diddy. So and then you can kind of circle back and correct me in the areas where I need to be corrected, because you're the expert on this. So I see the big five personality traits that you sent here. There's extroversion, agreeableness, openness, conscientiousness, and neuroticism. So yes. When I think about extroversion, which is sociability, it's not sociability. Sorry about that. Extroversion, I think of Diddy as this big extrovert. And I'm wondering if, with Diddy being sort of an extrovert, the loud guy partying all the time, how does that relate to the way others might view him? Like, is he more connected to other extroverts or introverts? Or let's assume that a Diddy or an R. Kelly or somebody was in a position where they wanted to manipulate somebody. Does the degree of extroversion or introversion, I assume introversion is the opposite of extroversion. Maybe you can correct me on that. You know, would that affect whether or not someone would say, okay, that's a person that I think I can manipulate?
Yeah, well, extroversion, I don't know. Like, it's according to the research, extroversion means that you're somebody who is very warm. You have a lot of warmth. So warmth is a major component of somebody who's who has extroversion, which is different from being extroverted, right? They're very affectionate, they're warm, and they're very friendly. So I'm not certain that he would fall under someone who's extremely extroverted, right? People who are extroverted, they're just easy to form really close attachments to others. They're very, they smile a lot. They have, they enjoy talking to other people. They really like meeting people, and they take an interest in other people. So if I were to say, if someone had the qualities of taking advantage of other people, those individuals are not necessarily extroverted, right? So people who are very cold and distant, they would score very low on extrovertedness, right? They're not very warm. They don't enjoy talking to other people. And I know, I remember, like, I saw his reality show where he was making the band, you know, somebody who was, he didn't seem to be very warm with the people. He seemed to have this kind of hard look on his face. You know, he didn't seem to want to get to know people on a personal level. He did not seem to be very warm and friendly. And not to say that if you score low on extroversionism, if you score low on that, that doesn't mean that you're going to take advantage of people. But that just means that sometimes you're very hasty in investing in relationships, because people who are very high on extroversionism, those individuals tend to participate in non-reciprocal relationships. Relationships. So they're just in relationships because they really enjoy being around people, and they like to do things for people, and they're not necessarily looking for something in return.
Okay.
So I would say somebody like that would be very low on that criteria.
Let me jump in. I always saw Diddy as an extrovert. He was loud. He loved to dance. He loved to party. He was always very loving in terms of he literally, when they saw him, when they filmed him in Miami, when you were down in Miami at the same time, first thing he said is love. You know, he just said, hey, love. And then whenever 50 Cent, you know, 50 Cent has always attacked Diddy publicly on his platform, a lot. And all Diddy has ever done is said, hey, come on, Playboy. Come on. Can't we be friends? Can't we be friends? Now, for some people, being friends with Diddy comes with inherent risk, right? There's a whole conversation about whether or not, you know, you really want to be his close friend. But I'm wondering if I've always seen Diddy as an extrovert. He's the flashiest guy. He's the loud guy. He's holding up the glasses of champagne. He's always, you know, screaming and hollering and holding up the bottles of everything. Like, why would you not consider Diddy to be extroverted?
Well, it's extroverted is different from extroversion. Like extroverted, you're thinking about the Myers-Briggs. And but there are, from what I read, warmth is just one aspect of extroversion. Warmth is one aspect of it. Another aspect that you're right, he could be, is gregarious. People who are, they, you know, these are people who like to be around a lot of other people. They yearn for others if they are alone. So if they are alone by themselves too long, they yearn to be around people, right? And so they, and I can see that he's very assertive. People who are extroversion tend to be very assertive. They also tend to be productive. So, you know, he gets a lot done. He likes a fast-paced life. He likes to be, he's energetic. He likes to see excitement. So in that aspect, I could see him, if he took this test, and it's a test that you can take, I can see him scoring really high on that. But in terms of like warmth and genuine positive emotions about, like genuine positive emotions about other people, I'm not sure. And I'm not talking about Puff Daddy, but I'm talking about people who would be in a position where they would want to take advantage of other people. They don't see individuals in this warmth kind of way. They may do it. They may pretend that they're doing that to get something out of them, but they participate in behaviors where it's like, okay, what am I getting out of it? So I don't know if I want to say necessarily Puff Daddy, but I just want to say people just in general.
Wait, you're calling him Puff Daddy?
Oh, whatever his name is.
I thought his name was Diddy.
Diddy, whatever he is. Did he? I don't know. But whatever it is, you know, there's some aspects of extroversion that he probably adheres to. But in terms of warmth, I wouldn't necessarily put him there.
Okay. Well, you know, what's funny, what's interesting, which does feed to your point, is I had a mutual friend of Diddy. I never met Diddy, but I have a friend of a friend of Diddy, and he had a meeting with Diddy, and he decided to send me this video of the meeting. And I don't know if Diddy said he could share the video or not, but he sent it to me. And I remember he was really mad. And I remember seeing him slam, you know, they were playing some video for him, and his leg was shaking really fast, and he just slammed the laptop down really, really hard. Like he was just pissed off and livid. So you could really kind of see, like, almost in a good fella sort of way, you know, and maybe hip hop, you know, perpetuates this stereotype of the guy who is loud and gregarious, but behind the scenes, there's something else going on. Maybe there is, you know, hey, I'm going to come in, you know, and come and get you. I'm going to seem like everything's okay in public, but later on your car might get blown up, or you might get shot while you're in Vegas at a Mike Tyson fight or whatever. Right. So I do hear what you're saying with that. So let me ask you this. So with Diddy and the alleged victims, and I want to keep saying the word alleged just because I don't think that we have the right to convict him. I'd be curious to know, when you talk about people that that really went for Diddy's charm, that found themselves in tough situations because of that, you talk specifically about women like Young Miami and Cassie. There were some people who say, you know, you made a choice. You were around this guy. It was your decision. And then there are other people who say, no, this, you know, he manipulated these people. Anything could have happened. Which personality types tend to be open to the most manipulation like this, right? Like, I don't know. And you can name some of the big five if you want, or some others, but I was thinking about things like agreeableness and openness, mm-hmm. as a couple of things. And maybe a lack of conscientiousness might play a role in your susceptibility to manipulation by a celebrity. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. You would have high rates of agreeableness. That's definitely a lot of people who are victim, who are survivors of that type of manipulation. And I'm not just talking about, celebrities. I'm talking about like catfishing and all the different ways, because think about online dating, all the different ways you can be manipulated. You don't know these people. Online dating, people who tend to be more agreeable tend to be more susceptible to being manipulated and told things. So yeah, so agreeableness is compassion. You're a very compassionate person. You're polite. You do have that sense of warmth. You have warmth, you know, as your primary personality. And you also are very maternal. People who are high on agreeableness, they care more about other people than they do themselves. And they tend to be very cooperative and not necessarily competitive, but they tend to be really cooperative. So it would make sense that people who have personality traits where they're really high on agreeableness would be people who would be more susceptible to being victims of being manipulated.
Hmm. By the way, everybody, in case you just came in, you're watching Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and I'm a finance professor. My wife is a full professor of social work and a licensed therapist. And if you want to hang out with Dr. Alicia, she sees clients every single day on an individual and collective basis. She can help you with a lot of issues that you may be working with or struggling through in relationships, as well as things like financial anxiety or any form of anxiety, really, or beyond that. So feel free to go to coachingwithdralicia.com to see what she does. That's coachingwithdralicia.com. Also, this podcast is on Spotify. So you can find it on Spotify and Apple just by looking at my name, Boyce Watkins. And last but not least, Dr. Alicia has written some great books on various forms of financial therapy. So if you want to take a look at some of her workbooks on financial therapy, which can help you, just go to drboycebooks.com. That's drboycebooks.com. And just search for the word Alicia. We have a whole section on love and money and the whole love and money lab, where our goal is to help those of you that really want to figure out your finances and figure out how to have healthy relationships. It really makes a big difference in your happiness in life. So feel free to go to drboycebooks.com. Okay, so let's hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. We were talking about Diddy, and I brought in Dr. Alicia because I really wanted to try to understand just what type of personality traits are more likely to be susceptible to the charm of a Diddy, assuming that Diddy may have done some things that he shouldn't have done. Again, innocent until proven guilty, but you know, with his house getting raided and a lot of the accusations coming out, it's really hard to ignore all that. So, you know, one thing I was thinking about, and I'd like for you to tie this into personality traits, either of the victim or the predator, whichever side you want to look at. But one thing I can say as a finance guy is I've talked extensively about how someone having money really opens the door for people to become victimized by that person. That if you were a person that did want to victimize people, not to say Diddy was trying to do these things, it's up to you to decide that. Having lots of money, a big fat mansion, lots of fame is a very easy way to manipulate other people.
Yes,
male or female, right? You can get things out of people. Even the rapper Too Short used to rap in his verses about how he would lure women in because they thought they were going to get some of his money. And he said, the whole plan was never to give you any money. The plan was to get you to have sex with me, hoping that you get my money. And then I don't give you anything. Right. And he said it in a very, very lewd kind of way. But that was the point. So money is a manipulator. Right. The impression of money can manipulate people psychologically, make them trust you. Jeffrey Epstein did the same thing. So when I heard about the cameras in the different rooms in Diddy's house, allegedly, that really reminded me of Epstein. OK, well, you know, we get you vulnerable. We get you to trust us. Then we get you to do things that you don't want people to know about. And then I get to blackmail you, which really speaks to a whole level of sinisterness that really may not be getting addressed appropriately. So can you sort of tie that back into personality traits and how people like say a Diddy victim allegedly, or a Risa Tisa, or somebody might be fooled into believing something is real when it's not?
Yeah, because you know, a lot of victims tend to be, you can talk about personality traits, a lot of victims tend to be very greedy. That's a personality trait of people who tend to be victims to somebody who has perception of all of this big fame and all of this money. People who fall into that have these greed. I mean, just think about it. If you're not a very greedy person, if you're, you know, someone's flashing a lot of money around you, that's not going to impress you. right? I'm not going to be impressed by how much money you flash around because I'm not a very greedy person. So people who are very greedy are more likely to be victims of being manipulated because that's what it takes. Somebody can use their money to manipulate you into kind of like a carrot at the end of the stick. You know, I want this money. I want this money. I want to be seen with you. They have this desire for this sort of, they just want what you got, what you're flaunting in front of them. And so, yeah, people are very greedy. Victims are very greedy. And not to say that Risa Tisa was greedy, but that was one of the reasons why she stayed with this man, because she kept talking about very openly. She kept talking about, well, you know, he was paying the bills. So that made her pause. That made her ignore all of the red flags that were going all over the place. And he knew it. Probably knew it. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, well, you know, it is one of those things where when you say, when you use that word greed, I think greed could be the appropriate term in some context. I think maybe perhaps a nicer way to say it might be that you have some sort of dream or fantasy or some sort of want. Right. You know, and I remember you telling me about how the Buddhists train themselves to not want things, because a lot of times the things that we want can entrap us. Right. We can, you know, get up every day, not content, not happy with what we have, not content, not happy with who we are. And so we go into the world searching for things. Right. And that's why I think really self-esteem is very important. I don't think Diddy or anybody or R. Kelly or anybody who wanted to victimize anybody. I think they'd have a much harder time doing that to somebody who's content with who they are and what they have versus somebody who's not content. Somebody who says, okay, I got to get to the next level. I got to get more. I'm financially desperate or whatever. And that's what I'm really picking up. You know, it makes me think about TLC. I know a lot of y'all may know this, but my cousin's in the group TLC, T-Boz. Our grandfathers are brothers. Her grandfather's name is Sam. My grandfather's name is Matt. And remember that song they had? Don't go chasing waterfalls. Please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you used to. And so literally when I teach students in the Prime program about investing, I sing that song all the time. I say, don't go chasing waterfalls, because the more you leave your home base, the more you're trying to go out in the world and find things that are already in you, things that are already there for you. The more you put yourself in danger, the more risk you take, the more you have to go into foreign territories where people may not want what's best for you. So what do you think about that? I almost feel that Diddy is, if Diddy was victimizing anyone, his perfect victim would be somebody who is living off a dream, who has some sort of fantasy that, you know, one day I'm going to work with Diddy and I'm going to be big. I'm going to be the next bad boy. And it never really happened. The dream never really came true for hardly anybody, except maybe Biggie. But even Biggie didn't live the dream because Biggie's dead. What are your thoughts on what I just said?
Yeah. And, you know, victims are also, they also tend to be very lonely and very inexperienced when it comes to reading people and understanding people and behavior. They tend to be extremely lonely. So not only are they in need of things, maybe even in a desperate situation, but they just don't have. They just don't have the ability to connect with normal people. They don't have the ability sometimes to do that. And they're inexperienced in love too. They don't understand. They haven't had a lot of relationships. So I think you can probably say that they're very naive.
Mm. Well, yeah. You know what?
This is not just me talking. By the way, I just want to say, this is not just me talking just based on my clinical experience. This is data. Like, there's been studies done on how and why people become victims, what types of personality traits are inherent and are common among individuals who are victims of this, of scams, victims of being catfished, and victims of being manipulated and taken advantage of. And there's also been studies done on individuals who are perpetrators, who are scammers and money makers. They all have similar personality traits. And so that's why we're doing this podcast today. Wouldn't you say, boys?
I would definitely agree.
Okay. So this is not my opinion. Don't be mad at the data. I love
no, numbers. No. I think you're right. And actually, before we move on, I want everybody, if you could, please hit the thumbs up button, thumbs up, share, subscribe. You're watching Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. This is my wife, Dr. Alicia Watkins. Dr. Alicia and I created something called the Love and Money Lab. If you, one of the biggest reasons for breakups and broken families is finances. And I really want to share everything I know about money. My wife shares everything she knows about love and therapy and healing and dealing with all the trauma. Undiagnosed, untreated trauma is the number one problem in our community. That's why you see so much crazy stuff. If that is your thing, if you are among the group of people that really wants to heal and make things better, feel free to visit theloveandmoneylab.com. There's a lot of good content there, and lots of things that we believe will help you in your life. Also, if you want to receive some free information from us, from Dr. Alicia, just text the word love to 87948. Text love to 87948, and she can send you some stuff right away. So the goal is not just to talk about Diddy and what's going on here. It's really to talk about us and to talk about healing and to talk about what you can learn from some of these crazy situations. Because I can tell you, babe, I think that hip hop has been just a sucker's dream for a very long time. You know, I tell the story all the time of a young lady I met who went to college in Atlanta, and she didn't study at all her freshman year. And I said, well, why would you deliberately not study? She said, because in my mind, I knew that one day I was going to get discovered by Diddy or Jay-Z, and I was going to go work for Diddy or Jay-Z. And of course, it didn't happen. You know, she was like another 10 million people that all have the same dream. But then I said, what if she had gotten her dream? What if she had met Diddy? Diddy took her under her wing and said, hey, you know, I really think you got talent. I want you to come and work for me. I want you to be my right hand person. That could be very traumatic for her. You know, like
a lot of times. It's very naive to think that way. Making yourself accessible, susceptible to being manipulated.
Well, you know, the thing is, D1 always has a saying that the devil can bless you too. And again, not to say Diddy's the devil. I don't know. Again, you have to prove certain things. But I'm going to just tell you that, you know, my smell test says that there's probably something going on. I've always felt this way. I felt this way 20 years ago. But, you know, basically, it seems to me that it's real simple, right? You talked about earlier about how the Buddhists are trained to not want things. And that's a type of freedom. If you're not sitting around constantly desiring things, then people can't manipulate you based on what you want. Because it seems to me, tell me what you think, that a person who's manipulated, first thing they're going to do is figure out what you want. And then when you tell them what you want, then they can fit their conversation into whatever it is that you said. So if you say you want romance, well, he's going to give you romance. He's going to love bomb you. If you say you want money, oh, he's going to start making it rain on you, right? If you say that you want to have a white picket fence with two children, he'll start daydreaming that with you. I knew a guy one time who used to manipulate women, you know, it's almost like a sport. He had about 10 girlfriends. And one of his friends asked him, like, what do you do? How do you manipulate? How do you get all these girls to fall in love with you? And he said, it's simple. He said, just sell them a dream. If you sell them a dream, they'll do whatever you want. And it seems to me that's where dreaming can be very dangerous, because I think especially when you look at in a debaucherous, horrific place like hip hop, where rappers are getting killed every other day, it's full of drug addicts and sex addicts and people that are financially unstable, sexually irresponsible. People are getting hurt and killed every single day. I don't really. And then let's not even forget about the fact that the feds are always watching. That does not seem like a dream. So I don't understand why Black people as a community are even caught up in that dream, because there's nothing good about this space. I've been in it. I don't want to be in that space. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's you, because you're probably very authentic and a very, you look for real authentic connections, and you have a BS meter, and you could see through people. It's nothing like going somewhere and you're trying to have a meaningful conversation with a person, and they're looking around the room, their eyes are darting around the room looking to see who's important that they can talk to and connect with. Like, you know who what's going on. Yeah. Ever happened to you? You ever been that in those situations? It's just like, okay, really, you know. And
well, when you and I go out, like, a lot of times I can really tell people that are like, oh, I got to meet Dr. Boyce Watkins, right? And it doesn't mean you've seen that. You've seen people that say, hey, can I talk to Dr. Boyce? You know, and it's not that it's always bad, right? Like it's an honor, and there's nothing wrong with it. But sometimes you're like, well, why do you want to talk to me? And why are you trying to get so close to me? What is your agenda here? Because, you know, not everybody is there for good intentions.
Yeah. And then you have, like, when I see that, and it's nothing wrong with it, it's a parasocial relationship, you know, where people know everything about you boys, you know, and they feel like they have this connection to you. And, you know, there are a lot of people, and rightfully so, I totally can understand why people would want to know. They spend so much emotional energy getting to know who you are, boys. They listen to all of your podcasts. They spend a lot of their time getting to know the voice of the podcast voice, which is, you know, deeply connected to who you are as a person. But the podcast voice is, and the online voice is not necessarily the voice that you're more than just that, right? So that parasocial sort of relationship where people feel like they really know you. Yeah, they know you, but I know you. I know you in other ways, right? So it's just, that's just something that's hard, and it's very common with celebrities and sports figures and television stars and people there. It's very common where people will feel like they really know you, but it's sort of a one-sided thing because, you know, you don't know everybody. You know, I don't know everybody. I'd love to know people who follow us and listen to, you know, Pillow Talk. I would love to know everyone, but, you know, it's just not possible. Some of those things just is built in the fact that we're online, we're on YouTube right now. I mean, people watching, boys. I mean, people watching us.
A few hundred
people watching us, you know, and yeah, about that's beautiful.
About 700 people, you know, yeah. and it's so good, right?
It is. And that's why I love the convention and everything, where I can feel like I can get to know people. But, you know, it does get to the point where, you know, people know who we are, but we don't necessarily know who they are.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, it's really one of those things where I love being honored and flattered by people that want to meet me. I mean, it's a blessing, right? So I'd never, ever look at it in any other way. But I think that you have to, in general, in business and in life, obviously be able to figure out, like, okay, why are you here? What do you want? Right. And and sometimes it's just something that's pretty naive. It's not something, you know, harmful or anything like that. But then you do have people that are driven maybe by things that they shouldn't be driven by. Like maybe they're trying to sleep with you, or they're trying to manipulate you or steal from you or whatever. And I think with Diddy, what is interesting about Diddy is, you know, I always compare Diddy. I'm sorry, I have to go ahead and do the comparison of Diddy and R. Kelly, and let me tell you why. Diddy and R. Kelly, they remind me of that movie I told you about. Remember that movie, Dorian Gray?
Oh, you love talking about that movie. Yeah, I love. Yeah. Say it again. I like listening to you talk about it.
I love talking about the movie Dorian Gray, because Dorian Gray is a story about a man who made a deal with the devil. And because he made the deal with the devil, he was able to have whatever he wanted. So he was able to have, you know, all the women he wanted, all the money he wanted, all the power he wanted. He could kill people and get away with it. And what happened was that because he had this deal with the devil, and because he was getting whatever he wanted, it rotted his soul. It really just rotted and corrupted his soul, because human beings are not designed to have whatever they want. You know, if you ever want to have the joy stolen out of your life, get to the point where you can have anything that you want. Then nothing has value anymore, because you can have anything you want at any time. Will Smith is a guy who can describe that very accurately. I love Will Smith. I don't care what nobody says. I like him. I met his brother, Harry. I talked to Harry for hours. And I could tell from talking to Harry, I said, okay, you come from a smart family. I can tell you're thinkers. So Will Smith did a great job when they asked him, what's the meaning of life? And he said, I hope everybody gets blessed with the opportunity to know what it's like to have anything that you want, where you can afford anything you want, you can have any woman you want, whatever. He said that then you find out that eventually all those things are not going to keep you happy or make you happy. He said happiness has to start from inside. And I think with Will, I think when I heard that statement from Will, I thought about where he mentioned in his book that he'd had so many women attract. I mean, you're an international sex symbol where there's literally millions of women that want to have sex with you, and millions of men too. And he said he'd had so much sex that he literally got to the point where he would vomit when he had an orgasm. He would vomit. He would get physically repulsed by it. And I think, to me, that just speaks to a type of gluttony that can really steal your joy. You know, we all grow up and we're dreaming about having more money and success and fame and everything else. Well, then the movie Dorian Gray kind of shows that darker side of that. So when I see Diddy and R. Kelly and these guys who unfortunately get spoiled by fame, right? You know, everybody loves you. Everybody, you know, money is flowing out of the ceiling. Everybody wants to be your friend. every girl, every guy, everybody wants to get with you. People do whatever you say. Eventually, I think that can lead to actual depression, I wonder. And maybe you can tell me, you know, you're the expert, you're the clinician. Is there any theory on this, or is there research done on this to sort of show that a person who has like this constant joy and constant adrenaline rush, how that can actually be very bad for them?
Well, I mean, that makes sense, right? I mean, you work so hard to achieve all of these material things, and these people work really, really hard to get what they want. And it would make sense that they would just be like kind of bored. You know, here I am, I got this beautiful house secluded away from everything and everybody. And now what? It's like, okay, now that you have everything you want, what is really important to you? So if you had to erase all of that, now what? You know, what's next for you? So yeah, I can see, you know, where you can live in a beautiful house with all the money in the world and end up feeling really lonely.
Well, by the way, everybody,
not having direction.
Before I move on, I wanted to mention to everybody, you're watching Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. This is my wife, Dr. Alicia Watkins. Dr. Alicia's website, where she sees her clients, is coachingwithdralicia.com. Also, if you text the word love to 87948, Dr. Alicia can send you links to some of her excellent material on dealing with financial anxiety, how to communicate in your relationships. A lot of people struggle with that, and a lot of other good stuff. So feel free to text the word love to 87948, and we can send you some stuff. So as you hit the thumbs up button, everybody, I want to ask Dr. Alicia another question about this. So what would you say in terms of, you know, a lot of times in the Black community, when we have stuff like this happen, because this ain't the first time this has happened. This happens all the time. And you know me, I have my little bone to pick with hip hop, because I feel like hip hop was derailed. Hip hop was turned into something it wasn't meant to be. It also has had a horrible impact on the image of the Black male in America. You know, a whole generation of Black men were raised looking up to men who are not, who really, honestly, in my view, I would describe them as degenerates. I'm sure you have a nicer word to use. But with that being said, though, it seems like a lot of times these things happen and we just sort of watch the train go by and we don't pick up the life lessons that might be available in this situation. What would you say if you were just watching this? And let's say you were talking to our son or one of our girls about this, you know, just what to look out for. What would go through your mind just as a mother, as a therapist, all that stuff?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I mean, when it comes to hip hop and the influence of hip hop, I would definitely encourage them to think critically about the type of music and the type of. And then we've had these conversations, Boyce, about I sit and listen to some of those songs and I have a conversation with them. Like, what do you think about what they're saying? Like, what is the message that this person is really giving you? And I really love the fact that, you know, when you ask children, you know, what do you think about the content in some of this music? And they'll tell you like, oh, I don't think that that's right. You know, you can have a conversation with them about what they're listening to and what they think about what they're listening, because you can't shelter the people from hip hop. It's part of our culture. It is an aspect of our culture. But I think it's so important when you talk about conversations you have with your children, is to ask them, what do you think about what's going on with Diddy? What do you think what's going on with R. Kelly? Like, getting from them their thoughts and perspective and having them think critically about what they're, the information that they're taking in. And, you know, it's interesting, even having a conversation with Tay Tay, she even says, you know, I don't really like hip hop music that much. You know, she's like, I don't like it because that kind of music is not something that it interests me altogether. And, you know, she'll have a really intelligent conversation with you. So I don't think that we need to discount our children and think that they're that susceptible, because think about it, boys, think about the music we grew up on. I mean, some of the debauchery, you know. I love, shout out AMG. I used to listen to AMG over and over again. I couldn't even play that. I couldn't play any of those songs in front of my kids.
Right? Better have my money.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Well, and that is true, right?
Thinking and having a conversation, not sheltering them, because I just don't know how to shelter people. I don't know how to do that, but having a conversation with them about the type of information and media that they're in contact with.
Well, you know what? And I do agree with you, right? I think that it would be hypocritical for our generation to, you know, bash the next generation for their love of this music. But also, I think that we'd have to be honest with ourselves and really talk about how our generation was harmed by the fact that hip hop turned to the left. You know, some people weren't, right? Kids from the suburbs with two-parent households were probably less affected than, say, kids in the inner city who didn't have a male role model who were looking for their role models on TV or in the media. I think that this is something that needs to be discussed. I don't think that we can act like entertainment, and you've talked about this in terms of how entertainment affects your subconscious mind. I mean, you're the one who told me that your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between fantasy and reality. So really, here's the other thing, too. Before we talk about the images of the Diddy or the Diddy's or the Lil Wayne's and what that's done to the Black community in terms of how we're viewed around the world and how our men think about themselves and about their women, you really got to go back to the 70s, at least, to the pimp culture, back when they had movies about pimps. And my father is the one who told me that the Blaxploitation films affected him and his friends. You know, it affected how they viewed relationships, how they viewed women. He said after they saw the pimps and they saw the pimps and the hustlers with all the women, they, you know, that reduced their incentive to be, you know, solid married men. That's really, so when people walk around using terms like simp to describe men who honor women and love women, that's really started, in my opinion, in the 70s. A lot of what Snoop Dogg did when he was running around saying, "We don't love them hoes," right? When he was doing all that, that was him copying 1970s Blaxploitation culture. Remember, his mentor at the time was Bishop Magic Don Juan, who was that pimp that had on all the bright green suits and all that and used to carry around the pimp cup. That really, to me, is how far you can go back to really find where we sort of, where media kind of went to the left and started to really manipulate the minds of Black men. I think it's all connected. What do you think?
Yeah, it for sure manipulated a lot of people's minds to want to emulate what they were seeing and propping those individuals up in the media as something to look up to. And again, it does affect your subconscious mind, but you can consciously program yourself. Just the way advertising works to program you, you can program yourself. We now have laid out the formula. We know the formula now. We know the repetition. We know the imagery. We know the lyrics and the words. You know the formula to program you. So why not you consciously make a conscious effort to program yourself? Whatever you want, you can definitely have it. Anything that you want in life, you can have. It just has to sync up with your energy, and you can program yourself to get on that frequency and get whatever you want in life, any and everything. So, I mean, if anything, it's the formula that works, and you can't stop it. I mean, advertising money is never going to end. So you can become conscious. So when you have conversations with your children, you are having a conscious conversation about things that are happening to them on the subconscious level, right? So that's how you fight it. That's how you take back your own mind.
Well, you know what?
Yourself.
Well, you know, I do agree with that, right? I think that it's very important. The reason a Black person has no choice but to be conscious is that if you're not conscious, you're going to be a slave. Because the power dynamic in America, the economic power dynamic in America, is one such that you're dealing with a white male who has become a dominant economic force in the world, and he understands Powernomics concepts, right? It's almost like they all read Dr. Claude Anderson books. So they understand how their money can be used to manipulate other people, right? And to shape the minds of other people, to keep them enslaved, keep you consuming, keep you destroying your families, keeping you weak, keeping you broken, keeping you in prison. And a lot of that was done through hip hop, I believe. I do believe that theory about hip hop being deliberately derailed. I don't know any black people who supported the transition of hip hop music from KRS-One and Chuck D to "We don't love them hoes and let's go kill a nigga today." Like that was not in the agenda. There was no black leader who said, "I want more music celebrating the genocide of black people." There's no black leader who said that. So it must have been a white leader or an economic leader who said, "It's not only going to help us solve one problem of getting rid of the black male, because the strong black male has been a threat to America since slavery. We don't want a bunch of strong, righteous, intelligent, focused, conscientious, strategic black males running around our society." That's one problem it solves. And then number two, we can make money while we're at it. We can build a whole economy around exterminating the black male, which we consider to be a cockroach of our society. That's what I saw, right? That's what I saw as a black man, because even back at that time, I was like, why suddenly are we as black men looking up to pimps? Why is the term "we don't love them hoes"? Why is that so popular? Because women are the reason you exist. You can't reproduce without your women. So you literally are telling black men to hate the women that make their children. So when I look up now in 2024 and I see rappers like 50 Cent comfortably sitting on a platform of 31 million Instagram followers, consistently and on a daily basis attacking the mother of his children, the guardian of his seed, the reason his DNA is allowed to exist in the next generation, I just can't help but to sit back and say, man, they pulled a real whammy on you. They've got you to become an accomplice in your own murder. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I really love that you're talking about slave, because I haven't talked to you in a while, but I've been reading up on Nietzsche and existentialism. I'll tell you all about it. I am reading up on that, and they talk about the concept of slavery and what it means. It really means letting go your control and following behind somebody else. That is what slavery means, not being in control and in charge of who and what you do and become on a daily basis. And reclaiming your power is how you exit slavery. And these are philosophers. I love philosophers. Yeah, so that's what they're talking about. That is in and of itself a definition of that. And I think sometimes we get so lazy in our thinking and our thought process. We just go with whatever. And you can't do that in these days. You can't look to something outside of you to save you. You just can't do that. And eventually... And I don't know if these people sold their souls so that they can have this fame and power. I don't know. But I do know that they're not promoting in the type of image that I would want my children to see. I do know that. You know, I know that these aren't people that I particularly look up to.
Oh, you know, and I know you're going in and out a little bit, babe. Hey, Alicia. Oh,
okay.
Is Alicia's mic choppy?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you may want to make sure your mic's plugged in. And by the way, while you do that, I want everybody to know you're listening to Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. This is my wife, Dr. Alicia Watkins. And on Pillow Talk, we basically talk about things that are important in the black community. We try to do it in a way that exercises your intelligence and your intellect and doesn't just focus on what happened, but actually what it means, right? We want to go look for meaning. So by the way, I want everybody to know, every year we have the All Black National Convention, which is going to be this year in Lombard, Illinois, right outside Chicago. And it's a great gathering of experts in all fields and all kinds of powerful black people and intelligent black people that have families that are looking to build in the community, that want to build wealth and want to develop connections with each other. If you'd like to join us for the convention, this is going to be our ninth one. You can go to allblacknationalconvention.com. That's allblacknationalconvention.com. It's a lot of fun. Dr. Alicia's always there, and I'm always there as well, and I know you guys are going to like it. Also, just a reminder, Dr. Alicia's website is coachingwithdralicia.com. And also, if you want to get free information from Dr. Alicia, just pull out your phone, text the word love to 87948, and Dr. Alicia can send you some information on how to have healthier relationships, how to deal with financial anxiety, you know, things like that. So just text the word love to 87948, and we'll send you some information. Okay, so babe, I assume that the mic thing is fixed now. So
can you hear me? I don't know if it's my mic, but I think it might be my computer.
Okay,
but we'll talk.
We can hear you now.
Okay, yeah, I think it might be more so my computer than my mic. But anyway,
okay, so you were saying, okay, so you know, one thing you were mentioning, you were talking about Nietzsche, right? And for those that are not familiar with Nietzsche, he was a philosopher, I think maybe in the 18th century or something like that. And you talked about Nietzsche's views on freedom and choice and how in existentialism, he argues that freedom is crucial for any human being. He says slavery really takes away the freedom, which makes it hard for you to control your life, which goes against some of his core beliefs in existentialism. And I would agree with you that
did you look this up while we were talking?
I just happen to know everything.
You do not happen to just know everything.
Blend me with the internet, and I just, you know.
Oh, there you go. I think AI helped you.
I'm full of worthless information. But I am a professor, ma'am. I am a professor. I do know a couple of things. Thank you very much. But anyway, so seriously though, when you talk about freedom though, you are right though. It's interesting because a lot of people in America are under the illusion that they're free. They're under that illusion. Like I'm gonna tell you the truth. I think that 80-90% of all Americans are not free. Most Americans are literally in the illusion of freedom. And it's a beautiful type of slavery because they haven't told you that you're a slave, right? But to me, if somebody's controlling your mind, in the imagery that you value, like you're looking up to pimps and hustlers and people that are going to get you killed and ruin your life, or they control your money, which is why you got to get up and go to work every day at a job, even though you would like to be free to do other things, right? They control you through consumerism. They control you through debt. Anybody who knows anything about debt knows that debt pretty much can be a prison. There is such a thing as an economic prison. If you ever want to know what that prison feels like, just go really deep in debt to the point where you've got to go to work every day in order to pay bills. If you are in that situation, then you're in an economic prison. You don't have freedom. And really, capitalism is fascinating because capitalism can only survive with slavery. You have to have people that are financially strapped up enough that they're going to provide the labor required, and they're also going to provide the spending that's required. People don't understand that when you look at the data and you see that the wealthy have literally been sucking up all the wealth. Like literally, I think that, what was it? Most people don't know. I talked about this earlier, that since the pandemic, billionaire wealth has gone up 88%. Did y'all know that? In the last 2 years alone, billionaires' wealth has gone up 88%. Elon Musk's wealth at the start of the pandemic, pay attention now, was about $25 billion. It is now $212 billion. He went from 20. So imagine if you're making 50 grand a year and you make $500,000 a year 2 years later, that's a hell of a come up. And a big part of the reason that these come ups occur is because of they got good slaves. They got, you know, the capitalist system gives them lots of consumers that will buy stuff that they can't afford. That's a type of slavery. And then they go to work, which is another kind of slavery, so they can afford to buy the things that they can't afford or pay off the debt that is related to them buying the things they can't afford. So when they enslave your mind and get you focused on excessive consumerism, and nobody else really goes through this more than Black people in terms of what gets marketed to us, they're really signing you up for slavery. Not necessarily
what gets marketed to us, but what we're used for. Because think about fashion, music, all of the things that we produce that's original to us, that's being exploited. We're such an important piece of that. Like we're so creative and innovative in all of the things that who would have thought hip hop? Think about hip hop, how much money hip hop has made. And the fact that it came out of the slums, the ghetto of New York, became hip hop music and is the most popular genre of music in the world. It's unbelievable that that came out of our suffering, came nothing but creativity. There is no stopping it. Like, we're the most creative people in the world, in the universe, in all the universes. We're the most creative people. And we, you know, the fashion, the music, the style, the language, the words, everything comes from us.
Well, you know, that is true, right? And what that really speaks to, in my view, and I'm gonna get financial here, is that, you know, when you come up with something that's great and that would work for the rest of the world, you've got to be able to develop the appropriate business model to be able to fully utilize that which you created. You know, if you don't understand business, and I think about TLC in this example, anybody remember when TLC was at the Grammys and they were basically saying that they had the number one album and they were still broke? And a lot of people were confused. They said, well, how do you have the number one album and you're still broke? Well, that's because a lot of people, they think that that being rich and famous is automatically tied together. They think that if you're famous enough, you'll eventually be rich. And that's like assuming that if you have a left leg, that you're automatically going to have a right leg, or that, you know, if you are, if you're smart, you're also automatically going to be pretty or whatever, right? You're connecting two things that have to be connected. They don't naturally connect. So with TLC, the problem for TLC, which has happened to a lot of people in the music industry, is they were so caught up in the dream. They were chasing their own waterfalls in terms of trying to become famous, which is what a lot of artists do because artists are very artistic. I don't know if there was enough energy or thought put into the business side of things. I mean, we can definitely look at the Jewish community and their responsibility and the managers and the business people. But the business people, all they were doing was protecting their own interests. That's what they were doing. So you can get mad and say, oh, they exploited us. Oh, they did us dirty. Oh, they did us wrong. Well, my question is, if you and I sit down and we negotiate a deal and I get the raw side of the deal and you get the good side of the deal, then at some point I'm going to have to look in the mirror and say, why in the hell did I sign that contract? Why did I take the raggedy side of the deal? Right. And a lot of times it comes down to financial literacy. What do you think? Go ahead.
Yeah, I totally understand. I mean, just think about, have you watched that show Unsung that used to come on TV? Is it TV One? You see that show? That is the most depressing. That is the most depressing episodes that you want to, it would come on every Sunday and I would sit and watch, you know, marathons of Unsung, and it would be the saddest thing ever because these are people with the best voices who came out of, plucked out of churches, singing in massive church settings and in poverty and all the different neighborhoods and areas that they were in where they had little or nothing. And of course, a brand new car is like, whoa, I never in a million years would think I'd get a car or I'd get nice clothes or stay in nice hotels. Let me sign up. Like, I think that we have to have some empathy for people when they go into these contracts, you know, about where they are and get into where they were in that moment when they were negotiating with individuals and they knew that they had this talent and they wanted to have this fame and they were in a desperate sort of situation to sign these contracts and not being aware of what was happening, you know, behind the scenes and being susceptible. You talk about manipulation. I mean, you know, definitely. I think the blame is not just with the artist's voice. I think the blame is with people who are giving them all this legal jargon and having, even if they hired a lawyer to go over the contracts, we don't trust these lawyers. I mean, it's exploitation. And I don't think that we need to put all of the onus on the artist and how they've been exploited. Some of them just.
Well, no. And I hear you on that. I agree with you on that. I don't think you have to put all the onus on the artist. It's definitely exploitation. Absolutely. Right. So if I go through a neighborhood and I get robbed every time I walk through that neighborhood, and someone says, no, stop telling me that I can control my outcome. I keep getting robbed and it's not my fault. Well, I'm going to agree with you. Yeah, you keep getting robbed. And it's also not really your fault because robbers are going to keep robbing you. But at some point, we got to have a conversation because we know that the robbers are not going to stop robbing, right? People that run business in the music industry are not going to stop being business people. They're not. Money and power are not things that any community ever gives away freely. Nobody, how many of y'all in here in this room, give me a yes or no. How many of y'all give money away for nothing? How many of y'all would give away half your paycheck just because it's the right thing to do? Or see a homeless person and say, here, take my money. I'm going to let you have it. Most people don't do that, right? So the question is not so much what's happening, right? We know what's happening, right? We know that artists, a stream of black, talented black artists step up to the plate. They sign contracts. Then they get screwed. And then they say, woe is me. Look at what they did to me. They did it again, y'all. Okay. So my question at that point is, at what point do we become mature enough to finish the conversation? Because at some point, you got to have a solution. And I think that sometimes as black people, we are so trained on victimhood that we literally are trained to spend our whole lives saying, I didn't get anything. I accomplished nothing. I got nowhere because white people wouldn't let me do it. I don't know if that's a solution that's going to make anybody happy. Right. So my question is, well, what's next? Is that just what we keep doing? Keep just saying, well, you know, until white folks decide to stop being white, until business people to decide to stop doing business, until the music industry stops being the music industry, we're going to continue to let ourselves get screwed? Or are we going to stop? Like Cat Williams said about Diddy. Remember he said, sometimes you got to tell them no, right? So that's a different approach because Cassie didn't tell him no. Cassie said, okay. And then she said, look at what Diddy did to me. Okay, cool, right, whatever. But Cat Williams, he's not telling a Diddy did it to me story. Yo, he's not saying that. He's saying he tried to do it to me, but I told him no. So why can't we all sort of learn something from that?
You know, getting back to personalities, because I think that's how we got to where we are, talking about personalities. And we were, before we got off on this other wonderful conversation, is agreeableness. Remember we were talking about agreeableness and personality trait. So agreeableness has five subsets. So I didn't know if you realized that there were five subsets of personality. One is trust. So there are some people, and I think like black people in general, we just have this belief that others are acting with good intentions. You know, so we're just like, wow, this person is interested in me and wants to help me further my music. High trust. So, you know, that's one aspect of agreeableness. Maybe we're just too agreeable, right? So part of it is trust. It's just being able, having this faith in human nature, we believe that the people we come in contact with aren't exploiting us. We believe that people are just honest and trustworthy. And we're trusting as a people. We're just trusting as a people, a lot of us are. And I think that's the part with trust. Straightforwardness is another aspect of being agreeable. It's straightforwardness. It's believing that what people say, they mean what they say and they say what they mean. I mean, nothing growing up black, you know, you're shunned if you're not straightforward. If you talk bad behind somebody back, that's like a no-no where I come from. Like, no, say it in my face, you know? So we're very straightforward in how we communicate with people. So we have this sort of belief that relationships are on the trust and belief in people's goodwill. We believe in altruism sometimes. Altruistic, right? That we are thoughtful and considerate and we're courteous, you know? And another thing is compliance. Compliance is another aspect of agreeableness that I think we as a people tend to be. We tend to be compliant. Do as I say. Like we're raised in households that say, you know, you have to submit to other people. You have to be able to do what the authority tells you to do no matter what. So, you know, we're more cooperative. Just as a people, I mean, just black people in Africa just tend to be really open and cooperative. It's who and what we are is part of our culture because we come from Africa. Africa has an abundance. I mean, you know, white people come from a cold rock where resources were very limited, and that plays in a little bit of their psyche. You know, we don't understand where they're coming from. You know, if we culturally come from a place where the ground is fertile and there's plenty of any and everything, we're not going to really understand that people don't behave that way. So I don't know. This is just part of kind of the personality of us and why we're more likely to be exploited.
Mm. Everybody, you're watching Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and this is my wife, Dr. Alicia Watkins. And on Pillow Talk, we talk about issues going on in the Black community. We try to do it in a way that elevates the conversation to make us all smarter and better. I want everybody to know that if you would like to meet with Dr. Alicia, she is a licensed therapist and a full professor of social work. You can go to coachingwithdralicia.com. She meets with individuals, families, groups, couples, etc. And also, Dr. Alicia is going to join us at this year's All Black National Convention, which is going to be right outside of Chicago in Lombard, Illinois. It's going to be a blast. This is going to be our 9th one. So feel free to join us at the All Black National Convention. We can proudly say that we've had rappers at our convention, but we've never had Diddy. Diddy would never have been invited. No disrespect to Diddy, but he wasn't our type of guy. But Killer Mike was invited. D1 was invited. Willie D has been there on multiple occasions. So lots of good artists. But then again, outside of that, we don't just bring artists. We bring specialists. We bring psychologists. We bring nurses, doctors, attorneys, real estate experts, business experts, family therapist, just anybody that can really help us to heal and help us to grow as a community and make our family stronger and make us a healthier community and help build our wealth. That's what we do. And we get it done every year and we fund this dang thing ourselves. So if you'd like to join us, just go to allblacknationalconvention.com. And also, if you'd like to get free content from Dr. Alicia on all areas of therapy so you can heal from your trauma, work on your relationships, work on your financial anxiety, text the word love to 87948. Text love to 87948. All right. So babe, I'm going to bring up a question from my homeboy, Cat Pillar. Cat Pillar, I had to bring his question on, babe, because he's one of my Call of Duty buddies. You know about my buddies in Call of Duty, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm so happy. I'm happy you're reconnecting with them.
Yeah, Cat's my man. He's uh-huh. He saved my life many times in a video game. So I have to lay his question out. I'd like to get your thoughts on it. I'm going to go conspiracy theorist for a minute and answer this question because I think it's a good question, right? And so he basically says, Dr. Boy Cat Pillar here, what do you feel is happening behind the scenes with all the distractions, Diddy, et cetera, going on from your perspective? I think that's a great question. Because I will say this, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, babe. I don't think that everything we see is everything that's happening. I think that there's more to this than meets the eye. I've seen people compare Diddy to Jeffrey Epstein, and I would bet money, I would bet real money, that Epstein was Israeli intelligence. And I know that it may sound crazy to some people, but when I add up all the facts and just add up some of the behaviors in terms of the desire to blackmail people, that's the number one way you control politicians and all that is you control them by catching them, you know, usually in some sort of sexual situation that they're embarrassed by. And then when it's time to do things like, I don't know, like vote in favor of sending hundreds of millions of dollars to the Israelis so that they can go blow up Palestinians, then that comes in handy. You've got people blackmailed. And so I've actually seen, again, I'm going to go a little bit to the left for a minute, y'all. So if you don't agree, that's okay. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I have, you know, there are people who have wondered for a long time that with all the speculation on Diddy, all the stuff he's been into, that shooting in 1999, the allegations on the whole Tupac situation, all that, a lot of people wondered how in the heck has he been able to mm-hmm. just not get caught up in any of that? Like, why has he not been prosecuted for hardly anything? And so one solution that people have laid out, again, I'm not saying this is true or not true. I'm just saying that it's worth discussing, is that maybe he's working for somebody that it basically said, you help us out, we're going to help you out. Right. You know, like when it came to mind really, babe, when I saw they were mentioning in the suit about how he allegedly had all these cameras in every bedroom. Why would you have cameras in all these bedrooms catching people unconsensually engaged in all kinds of freaky sex? Now, maybe you just get off on that kind of thing, but I suspect strongly that there is that there's a lot of stuff that's been kind of piled up, right? Lots of evidence. And I've even heard people like Candace Owens go as far as saying that the raid really wasn't so they could actually get him. It was so they could get the evidence so they can isolate him, perhaps, so that he can't you know, so that when he does go in, he won't be able to just blow the whistle on a bunch of people. Or, you know, which makes me wonder if the chances of him going through the Epstein situation is possible, right? You know how Epstein kind of, his life kind of ended surprisingly and inexplicably, and that led to the cover-up of a lot of information. So I personally think that there could be something going on at that level. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there are controls at every level, and there are, he's probably working for the whatever, dark whatever that's happening. I'm certain Puff Daddy is locked in with that community, with that those groups. And I'm certain he was compliant, because him and Snoop Dogg and all of those people who come out squeaky clean, all of a sudden they're everywhere. You know, and I'm sorry, I don't think that they're that talented, to be honest with you. Like, there are other people who I think are just beautifully talented. And I mean, why are they everywhere? Everywhere you look, you see Snoop Dogg, you see P. Diddy or whatever his name is, Sean. Everywhere you look, you see the same people. And, you know, you start to scratch your head, like, who are these people? Why, after all of the fallout in the 90s, why was P. Diddy the one with his TV shows, his shows on, you know, MTV? So he could be a gatekeeper and definitely be used. So I do believe in the conspiracy theory. Time will tell how all of this kind of falls out. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. And I don't think it's a stretch. You know, he hasn't come out with a song in a long time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think also a Hugh Hefner comparison would be appropriate as well.
I kind of feel
like Hugh Hefner got away with a few things. I think it would have been very easy to catch Hugh Hefner up on a Bill Cosby type charge, just you remember when we were in L.A. and we drove with that limo driver named David, who was a driver.
You're just calling him out now.
With it again.
You're just calling David out, the limo driver.
Well, you know what? I hope nobody goes and looks him up. But yeah, David, the limo driver, was a very nice guy who drove for Hefner. He drove around Cosby, and he had very strong opinions. He kind of just felt like Cosby got railroaded a little bit, and that there was no what Hefner did was a lot worse, you know. And in fact, some of the alleged victims, he said, I knew that the alleged victims, and I felt like the fix was in. And so
he also said that they waited until Hugh Hefner died before they even started the Me Too movement. So even that was on the agenda.
I don't remember him saying that, but
yes, he did. He said, remember, it wasn't until Hugh Hefner died that now we start, because how could Hugh Hefner not be part of the whole, be part of the Me Too movement? I mean, he was brokering Me Too movement deals. His position. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, that's how history always has been that way in politics and entertainment. And history's always been the prostitutes, always been a CIA, always worked for the CIA, the night workers, you know, they always have high level clearance. I mean, that's how it's always been, right?
Well, you know, and that's where I would say to any young man that wants to be financially successful is you got to be thoughtful about who you lay down with. You know, we created this false culture where men are led to believe you're supposed to just sleep with whatever cute girl offers it to you. And I just think that that if you do that, that's a sucker's move. That's going to get you caught up in a bad situation where everything can be taken away from you. So ultimately, I think that that's a lesson that I grab for, you know, all the young men listening, anybody who has a son or a brother that you care about, you know, you got to help them understand these things. So anyway, I'm going to let you get the last word, babe. And before I do that, I want to ask everybody, could you please hit the thumbs up button, thumbs up, share, subscribe. You're watching Pillow Talk with Dr. Boyce and Dr. Alicia Watkins. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. This is my wife, Dr. Alicia Watkins. On Pillow Talk, we get together and we try to elevate the conversation of what's happening in the community. And she's a licensed therapist and a full professor of social work. I am a PhD in finance. And so when it comes to love and money, that's what we do. And also, we actually created something called the Love and Money Lab at theloveandmoneylab.com, which will help you solve your financial problems and your relationship problems. They're all over the internet. There's a lot of people that have opinions and say crazy things. Well, this is based on science. This is based on what works. We're very solution oriented. So if you want to solve the problem of what it's going to take to get your life vibrating on a higher frequency, we'd love to help you with that. So feel free to go to theloveandmoneylab.com, and also to get free resources from Dr. Alicia, you can text the word love to 87948. Write that number down and text the word love to 87948. We'll send you some information. Okay. So last question, babe. What are some takeaways from this whole thing with Diddy? And also, are there any other lessons that we didn't cover? We've had a chance to talk a lot about this, and I wanted to make sure you get a chance to share every perspective you have in terms of where and you can talk about where you think this might go. You know, do you think that Diddy is going to, you know, go down from this, or you think it's just going to be another bump in the road, or what are your thoughts?
I don't think anybody can really predict what's going to happen. I really do think 2024 has been the most entertaining year I've ever experienced. And of course, I've been here for quite some time. But, you know, it started from January, February, March. Now we're moving into April. I am not disappointed. What is next? Nobody knows what's next. But I know it's going to be exciting. I just feel like the other shoe is going to drop. Like something's going to happen because we're in an election year, all these real bizarre things with Donald Trump and the things happening with Biden and his son and, you know, this election coming up. It just really seems like something is brewing. And I don't know if Donald Trump will end up being our president, but it seems like we're going in that direction. I mean, we have to talk about the election. How does all of these things fit together? I think time will tell. I think we need to start paying attention. And we do need to start thinking about consciousness, like being conscious of what we're doing, how we're doing, how we choose to spend our time, who we choose to spend our time with, what we spend our money on, all of our resources. I think that we need to just pay attention to what's happening around us, but also pay attention to what's happening with us and what we're doing. I think this is a great time where we can just focus on what we want in life and not be manipulated and pulled all these other different directions, and take your mind back. Take your mind back for sure.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I sure can. I sure can. That was a great closing remark. I'll say this. My prediction is, or here's what my assessment is right now. Diddy hasn't been charged with anything, right? And that's the part that's still confusing as hell to me. If you didn't charge him with anything because he hadn't done anything or you have nothing on him, then that's a problem because you did smear and destroy this man's reputation. And I think that would be patently unfair. Now, given that I honestly believe that there is something to this, I do believe that there's something going on here, and I think it's worth investigating. I think that the biggest thing we can learn as a community is that hip hop culture in general, not all of it, just the part, the toxic part, not all hip hop, just the toxic part, is just so unhealthy for the Black community. So terrible, you know, for us as a people, when you're talking about, you know, just the amount of manipulation, the poor financial choices, the poor sexual choices, glorifying the murder of Black people and having us look up to that, looking up to degenerate behavior. I think that's something that this is almost like a reckoning in a way. I'm kind of glad to see Diddy get sort of knocked off the stage, because this man's been on this freaking stage for 30 years, dancing around like a teenager, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, dude, you're over 50 now. You can't be a 50-year-old 15-year-old. You can't be 50 and 15 at the same
time. He was living his best life at that moment.
Right. Well, you know what? If you want to live your best life, I think that's cool, but you should be living your best life as more of an elder. You know, you're not a baby no more. You know what I mean? Like it's almost like he became almost like a Black Peter Pan. You know, it's just like, I'm never going to grow up. I'm never going to get older. And what this feeds into, and this honestly is a little bit of a trigger for me, I'm going to be honest, is that it feeds into what Malcolm X used to describe as well as the infantilization of the Black male, making Black men into infants, making them into irresponsible, little, worthless, little, stupid little teenagers, where you don't protect your women, you don't take care of your children, You don't build anything. You don't develop anything. We have 30 years of hip, 50 years of hip hop.
What do you mean? He has a liquor company.
See, you need to stop that. You need to stop. He's got a liquor company. That wasn't even his liquor company. He ran out here talking about they discriminating against me. They wouldn't, you know, and I read the details of that. They were paying all the bills. They were doing the manufacturing and the marketing. Diddy was just showing up at the party and dancing like he always does. And so my belief is that we need some grown ass men on the stage so that we can see what a grown man does, how grown men operate. You know, there are men out here and women too, that are really developing things that will elevate the condition of the community, you know, that are not going to have us turn into a bunch of alcoholics and drug addicts, not, you know, create a whole generation of sexually irresponsible, disease-ridden sex addicts, not lead to the celebration of Black genocide at every available turn, that will create the kind of community we deserve. So Diddy's had his run. It was cool. Good for him. Now I'm ready to see somebody else. I'm ready to see the next generation. And I support them in doing that. You got to learn from your fathers and your uncles. Some of us in my generation, the Gen Xers, are just not men to look up to or to be admired. You admire that man who's taking care of his family. You admire that man who's being financially responsible. You admire that man who takes care of his health so he'll live past the age of 45. Those are the men to look up to, not these damn degenerates that they market to you in white-owned media. It's just not healthy, not cool at all. I'm not a fan of it. So
yeah, we got to do something. We got to do something on again. As often as we can, we have to do something exposing the stereotypes of Black men and the stereotypes of Black women. We can't stop. We need to just continuously talk about these things because all women in media, white sanctioned media, they go through the four stereotypes of Black women. They know those four. And men, they also encompass a lot of what we read in the Willie Lynch letter. That Willie Lynch letter, I don't know if it was real or if it was fake. It doesn't make a difference. But the Willie Lynch, that's what you see men come through. Black men come through the Willie Lynch. Read that, the Willie Lynch. And I think that we need to, as much as possible, we need to start raising awareness to that, to those stereotypes.
Well, you know, there you go. So no more stereotypes. How about that? How about we all just get together as a community and just decide that we're going to be human beings and not cartoon characters. I think that's a good first step. And I agree with you, Felicia. I love you, Felicia, because you have the same name as my grandmother. So my grandma's name is Felicia. My wife's name is Alicia. So that name means a lot to me. So she says we need to get rid of Sexy Red needs to go too. Well, Sexy
She's
Red
never going anywhere. She's being supported and propped up.
Well, here's the thing. Sexy Red can exist. Right. She has a right to exist, but there must exist something in contrast to that, where somehow we find some way to deal with the power that white males have when it comes to controlling media. They put images out there of our people that they would never put of themselves. The Jewish community would never allow the Sexy Reds and the Cardi B's and the Lil Wayne's represent their community. They'll do that to us. And that's because we allow it. And that's because America has a long legacy of disliking Black people. And that's what I'm seeing right here. So I want to say thank you all, everybody, for hanging out with us today on Pillow Talk. We appreciate you very, very much. If you want to go take a look at what Dr. Alicia does, she sees her clients individually and as a group. Feel free to go to coachingwithdralicia.com. That's coachingwithdralicia.com. You can also text the word love to 87948 and get more information from Dr. Alicia. And also, I am hosting, if you have an interest in learning things like stock options, I'm hosting a stock options summit in Los Angeles on April 19th. If you want to learn about options, our students have higher incomes because of what we're doing in the Black Business School. Because we figure if you make more money, you don't have to go out and sell your soul to make money. You can actually be in a position of empowerment. So if you want to join us in LA, just go to stockoptionssummit.com. That's stockoptionssummit.com. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to do financial consciousness training. We do this every single morning at 10 a.m. If you come live, it's free. The archives have a fee, but if you come live, it's free. So just text the word morning to 87948, and I'll send you an invitation to join us for financial consciousness training. So we're getting a lot done in the Black Business School. We have a lot of great people here, a lot of great Black wealth scientists, Black family scientists, and individuals that can really help enhance your life, because we just want you to have a good life. I just want you to be happy. That's all I want. So thank you very much, Dr. Alicia Babe. I appreciate you coming in and gracing me with your presence. It was great to hear from you as well.
All right, sweetie. I can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Woohoo! All right. All right. Yeah, y'all have a good night. I'm gonna go lay down. I got a chest cold. I don't know if y'all can hear it or not, but I need to go get some rest. So have a good night, everybody.
God bless. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.